As we look at the Genesis record of the great flood in the days of Noah, we see some absolutely, as they would say, unbelievable statements, such as Genesis 6, 19 and 20. Of every living thing, God said to Noah, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. I'm sure at that time, as Noah heard those opening words, his heart sank because he suspected that what God told him to do was humanly impossible. And it got worse. Verse 20. Of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing, of all the earth after his kind. Of course, that would include all reptiles, lizards, and dinosaurs. God said that he was to bring them into the ark, but wait till you read the final words of that statement of God. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. In other words, God did not expect Noah to do the impossible. He could build the ark according to the God-given blueprint over 120 years with human help and skills available and tools of those days, but to bring himself, two each of every bird, mammal, and reptile into the ark was humanly impossible. And therefore, actually, God is announcing a miracle that he would perform in the final 7 days before the flood struck the earth. And thus we see the answer to a serious question people have raised through the years about visible evidence of the flood. If nearly a billion people died, as Dr. Henry Morris and others have suggested, by calculating the population growth rates and the enormous lifespans of people in those days in Genesis 5, then where are the remains of a billion people? Do we see their skeletons, their skulls everywhere in the fossil record? No. Maybe an occasional one here and there, but I think here we find a significant clue. As God brought these animals into the ark from the world of that time, people must have been in total terror as they saw these animals led by an invisible hand into the sole place of refuge, namely this gigantic, flat-bottomed, square-sided barge that Noah had been spending over 100 years constructing. And gripped with fear that these animals must have had a premonition of a coming global catastrophe, they fled to the hills. But the higher they climbed, the higher the waters rose and picked them off by tens, hundreds, thousands, and millions. And every single person drowned. Now, why don't we find their remains? Because in recent studies, it has been confirmed that people who drown in the depths of the sea are never seen again. Billions of scavengers instantly devour things that are dying or dead in the ocean, so the ocean bottom does not become a stupendous garbage dump, as it were. How awful to think of what happened, for example, to 1,522 people who sank with the great Titanic in 1912, as that huge ship on her maiden voyage in that month of April, the largest movable object ever built by human hands, a skyscraper among ships, as Werner Gipp tells us in his amazing book, The Wonder of Man. It was an oceanic giant, 4 city blocks long, 11 stories high, that the White Star Line labeled as her unsinkable ship. That's why they only had half the lifeboats they really needed. And this has been confirmed. One steward said to a lady, Mrs. Caldwell, and I quote, "Even God couldn't sink this ship," end of quote. Well, friends, in 3 short hours, the great Titanic split in two, sank 11,000 feet to the bottom of the North Atlantic. And along with her, 1,522 people sank into that icy grave. 73 years later, in 1985, Robert Ballard and his team found the remains of the Titanic. But no human remains at all. Not one tooth, bone, skull of the 1,522 people that went down with her could be found. Why? They had been annihilated by scavengers probably before they even hit the bottom. And that is why we see everywhere in the world today the remains of billions and billions, if not trillions, of marine creatures, and other animals, and plants smashed, beautifully preserved in the strata of the earth, but no human remains. Because you see, when the animals in the ocean and animals on the land were engulfed by masses of mud, they were not fleeing to the higher latitudes in terror of the coming waters. They did not know what was coming and therefore were entombed, buried, fossilized, and preserved. But people weren't sitting there on the ocean shore waiting to be engulfed with masses of mud. They fled to the hills and thus escaped fossilization. This could be one of the very marvelous answers God is beginning to show us today of otherwise supposedly hopeless enigmas that constitute the record in the book of Genesis of the greatest catastrophe the world has ever seen. You see, we are told in 1 Peter 3:20 that the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. In other words, during all those years, God was saying something to the human race. A flood is coming, a catastrophe is coming. And what was happening during that 120 years while the ark, as a visual aid, as it were, of God's gracious provision for those who would believe him and trust the message of Noah, who is described in 2 Peter 2:5 as a preacher of righteousness, a man who had faith, Hebrews 11 tells us, in what God revealed, namely a coming catastrophe of water. Yes, as they mocked and scorned and laughed and ridiculed and suppressed the message, God was gradually building up in them a sort of a suspicion that maybe something was going to happen. And so when those things began to happen, and the animals, two of each, began to move toward that ark, perhaps in terror they were saying to themselves, surely this cannot be a global deluge, a universal catastrophe, famous last thoughts of a godless generation. Yes, the Bible tells us that in those days, Jesus' actual words, in those days men were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, just feeding and multiplying with no concern for God, his word, his will, his warnings, until the flood came and took them all away. God used, in other words, can we say it this way, friends, the catastrophism of a global flood to wipe out even the visible evidence, the visible memory of this demonic generation. Yes, 1 Peter tells us that in those days, horrible things happened as people were influenced by, of course, demons. 2 Peter and Jude tells us that the sons of God, the demonic world, invaded the human race. And as a result, horrible things that are indescribable, that we can't even imagine, must have taken place in the hearts of those people. And God wiped them out, yes, by the means of a flood that swept them away so that they drowned and were devoured and disappeared forever. All we can hope is, like the dying thief on the cross, while life exists, there's still hope to believe, and maybe some of them said, Lord, we do believe what Noah said about the coming judgment and the availability of the ark, but we can't get in the ark, the door is shut, but I believe. And friends, it is always possible for us today. Yes, we can come to the Savior. It is never too late. May God help us to see the signs of the times, listen to the gracious invitation of the living God to enter the ark of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, his Son, and be saved from the wrath of God forever.
Thank you, Dr. Wickham. That was really a blessing. I have one question to ask you, though.
Yes.
When the people, you said, saw the animals and perhaps they were frightened and started heading for higher ground,
yes.
Were their hearts so hardened that they wouldn't just get into the ark with the animals?
Apparently, their hearts had hardened to the point where at the very end, they had still not accepted Noah's invitation under God to enter the ark. So God slammed the door shut. They could no longer be physically saved. But we're speaking of the possibility, like the thief on the cross, who could be spiritually saved. The believing thief, as we know, could never come down from the cross and survive the experience of crucifixion. But Jesus said to him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. So we know from God's precious word that it's never too late while there's still life and breath for people to believe, even though they can't be spared physically. They can nevertheless, by his grace, enter into his heaven and experience the mercy that only he can provide for those who trust him.
All right, thank you.
1590 WARV.